Dr. Dickinson, when did you first become acquainted with the technology that was part of Illumina's technology?
I worked on this technology in graduate school, helped develop it from the start.
Were you a student of David Walt's?
Yes.
Is it safe to say Dr. Walt is the person who identified you as a potential candidate for Illumina?
Yes.
And to your knowledge, who do you think was the first person to sign an offer letter with Illumina?
I think I was. Yeah, but you have the dates probably. I think April 24th is when I signed one, and I was the first.
Let me put that up on the screen.
Is that an exhibit, counsel?
Not yet. We offer this as trial exhibit 387. Dr. Dickinson, does this look like the offer letter you received from a company that was referred to as NewCo Inc. at the time, dated April 9th, 1998?
Yes, that looks like it.
Put up the signature page, please. Does this look like your signature indicated, dated April 22nd, 1998?
Yes, and that was my birthday, for the record.
By the way, Dr. Dickinson, how old are you?
I'm 31. Thank you. I know, I get that all the time.
Was Illumina your first employment as a scientist?
Yes.
Was Dr. Zarnik your first boss as a scientist?
Uh-huh, yes.
And between April 22nd, 1998 and September, when you actually started working at Illumina's facilities near UTC, what were you doing?
I was finishing my dissertation, actually.
That was for your doctorate degree.
Right.
Where did you finish that work? Is that in San Diego?
I finished the last chapter here, so I visited the Cardiff office a couple of times, but I was not employed at the time.
So when you joined Illumina initially, what were your first responsibilities?
As I was mentioning earlier, technology transfer in a broad sense. Developing the fiber optics that we use today in our products, working with various companies to do that, developing the etch process, developing the chemistry associated with that, doing initial molecular biohybridization, even beginning to start evaluating alternative substrates for the materials. My responsibilities kind of bridged engineering, biology, and chemistry.
Did you get a lot of guidance in terms of how to manage your work and what kind of things to do next?
No, I pretty much knew what I had to do and did it. That's the way I work.
Did you enjoy that kind of management style in terms of a hands-off management style?
I did. That was fine for me.
Now, do you recall Dr. Zarnik articulating any scientific vision or plans for the chemical applications for Illumina's technology?
Not in any organized fashion. I wanted to do things with the technology from a chemistry standpoint. High-throughput screening, things like that. There was interest there, sure.
Do you recall him proposing any business plans for those applications?
No.
Were you involved in drafting the prospectus for Illumina's initial public offering?
I don't think I wrote anything. I helped put together some of the photographs that were used in those documents.
Let me put up Trial Exhibit 58. It's Illumina 4547 through 4548. Actually, this is the wrong one, but I'll start with this. Could you take a look at Exhibit 58, which is up on the screen there? Do you recall in April of 1999, Dr. Zarnik asked you for help in preparing a NIST ATP grant application?
Yeah. Yes, I remember that.
And was it your perception that this was something that had to be done fairly quickly?
Yes.
Would it be fair to say that Dr. Zarnik had procrastinated in getting started on this application?
Very fair to say that, yes.
And your experience with working with Dr. Zarnik, would you characterize his style as a little bit of a procrastinator?
Not a little bit, a lot, yeah.
Did that cause you some inconvenience being enlisted to help with this grant application?
Yes, it did. I think I had to come in on a weekend, which wasn't a huge deal, but I prefer to plan ahead a little more than that.
Have you personally had experience in drafting grant applications?
Some experience in graduate school. I helped write a few grants with David Walt, but none of my own.
Based on that limited experience, would you have preferred a little more lead time to get started on this grant application?
Yes.
Let's put up Exhibit 125, please. We're putting up on the screen what's marked Exhibit 125-2. Dr. Dickinson, can you recognize that photograph?
Sure.
What is that?
That's the big room that we called it.
That's at 9390 Town Center?
Yes.
And about how many people sat in that room over time?
I don't know. It must be 20. We packed a lot of people in there.
What kind of people sat in there in terms of which functional groups they worked in?
I think they were people from all disciplines, mostly the scientists. I think some engineers in there, too. I'd have to go through. Kevin, there was people from different disciplines, scientists, mostly. There may have been a couple of research associates there, too.
So we've heard some testimony that there was this schism between the molecular biology group and the chemistry group. So with everybody sitting in the same room, did that enhance communication between the people in the different groups?
Yeah, I think it helps for us to be in the same room.
Do you recall Dr. Stulpnagel ever saying or doing anything to try to hamper communication between the groups?
No.
Do you recall Dr. Zarnik characterizing anything that Dr. Stulpnagel did as an attempt to hinder or hamper communications between the molecular biology group and the chemists?
No, my impression was John wasn't hampering communication as well.
Under Dr. Barker's regime as chief scientific officer, do you believe this schism between the groups has improved at all?
I do, yeah. I don't feel a schism with microbiology at all.
Let me show Mr. Pantone an exhibit that's been objected to. It's 4855.
What exhibit is it?
203. It's not objected to. Can we start at the bottom? That's the one that says, "Dear colleagues, do you recognize this email from John Stulpnagel to all of us dated May 1st, 2000?
Yeah, it looks familiar.
What is it?
This had to be an announcement of your arrival to the company, the bottom one you're talking about?
Yes, right there. Then look at the next one here. It's dated the same day, about an hour later, from Dr. Zarnik to all of us. Do you recall seeing this email on or about May 1st, 2000?
Yes.
What was your reaction when you read that email? By the way, can you read it out loud for the jury?
The whole thing?
Yes.
Sure. Before fully passing the baton, everyone at Illumina should know how much effort John has provided for the company on its intellectual property portfolio. When Mark and I joined John to start the company, no one was experienced in the preparation and prosecution of patents. I was loaded with work and simply unable to take on this responsibility. I assume Mark found himself in the same spot. John didn't hesitate to take this on despite having probably the greatest workload. With 40-plus applications now filed, it was a Herculean effort. Thanks, John. Nikki, we're glad you're here. Tony.
Do you recall your reaction to receiving this email?
At some point, I became aware that the emails Tony was sending about John were not entirely sincere. I don't recall if this was before or after that time.
Let's go to the next message above that. Is that 4855? There's a different version.
Sorry, Your Honor. I think we have a duplicate.
This was marked as Trial Exhibit 203-4. It's the same email string. Do you see your response? Todd Dickinson to Dr. Zarnik the same day, about a minute after Dr. Zarnik sent that one out?
Yes.
And your response? What was your response?
My response was, you are something else.
What did you mean by that?
I meant, at this point in time, I realized that Tony was probably not being entirely sincere with this email. It had hidden meanings, complimenting but not really meaning it. That's why I wrote that as being sarcastic.
What was Dr. Zarnik's response about 2 minutes later?
The world is seldom as it appears, which confirmed my suspicion.
Then your response to that?
This makes me rethink all the times you've been kind to me.
Didn't you testify that you and Dr. Zarnik sat in the big room together?
Yes.
So you were emailing each other across the room?
Probably 20 feet away.
Why at this point in time did you feel that Dr. Zarnik was not being sincere about his feelings towards Dr. Stulpnagel.
Because at this point, May of 2000, I knew what was going on. Generally speaking, behind the scenes, Tony was unhappy with John and there was a schism there, and I was aware of that. And this email was inconsistent with what I knew Tony's feelings towards John to be, which prompted me to write this.
How would you characterize his feelings toward John?
That's a tough one. I don't know if I'd use the word hate, but I think John caused Tony a tremendous amount of stress. But, you know, those are personal feelings, I guess, based on the way Tony was perceiving the situation.
Did Dr. Zarnik ever connect his feelings with Dr. Stulpnagel to any perception he had that How did you learn about Dr. Zarnik's feelings towards Dr. Stulpnagel?
Tony would tell me about this. We'd go on walks and he'd tell me about how he was feeling.
So these are private walks with just the two of you around the outside of the building?
Correct.
Did Dr. Zarnik ever tell you that he felt Dr. Stulpnagel was discriminating against him because he suffers from a mental disability?
Toward the very end, I believe Tony mentioned that to me, but it wasn't for a while. Tony and I had been talking about this for months, and there was no mention of disability or depression. And then when it became public, I think that's when he told me.
So can you place some time when it was near the very end? Is that close to the time he was terminated?
Yeah.
Prior to that, had you ever known that Dr. Zarnik had a mental disability?
No.
Can you recall any other examples besides the NIST ATP grant where Dr. Zarnik's procrastination affected your personal professional performance?
Well, there was a trip to Dow.
Was this a trip to visit a company called Dow in Michigan?
Dow Chemical in Midland, Michigan.
Did the two of you travel together?
We did.
The same flight?
Yes.
Did you sit next to one another on that flight?
Yes.
Did you talk about the upcoming purpose of the meeting during that flight?
We probably did, yeah.
What was the purpose of the meeting?
As I recall, the purpose was to get Dow Chemical interested in our chemical detection or optical nose technology, as well as getting them interested in the company in general, in Illumina. So Tony was planning on giving a talk about not only the optical nose, but the genomics, biology aspects, company history, the whole spiel, to get Dow interested.
Why did you want to get Dow interested in Illumina?
Financial contributions and helping us keep us going, starting to fund the chemical detection program first off, but also potentially other aspects of the company.
Was it fair to say that this was a business development trip for a chemical application?
Mostly, yes.
And what happened when you got to Dow?
We got into the little boardroom type area and we sat down with some of the leaders of Dow, high-level people, and it came time for us to give the presentation, and Tony handed me a stack of transparencies that were out of order and said, "Why don't you give the talk?"
Was this a surprise to you?
Yes, it was.
Was it a shock to you?
Yeah.
And what did you do?
I laughed. I thought he was joking. He said, "No, I'm serious." So I got up and gave the talk, did my best.
So did you think you gave your optimal performance?
No, not by a long shot.
Did Dr. Zarnik explain why he had asked you to do the presentation at the last moment?
Well, when I asked him, when I was joking, said, "You are kidding, right?" He said, "No, my throat is a little dry. Why don't you give the talk?" That's the explanation he gave me. I talked to him afterwards and was very disappointed, actually very angry, because I like to be prepared for my talks, especially a talk of that magnitude, importance.
Did you feel you were qualified to present all the slides that were presented during that meeting?
I think I probably am qualified now. At the time, there were some things I would have liked to have studied beforehand. I was definitely qualified for the optical nose part, historical Illumina, but we wanted to tell them about genotyping, results there, and I wasn't prepared to talk about that at the time. I could have been had I been given notice.
Had you been given notice, would you have done more preparation?
Absolutely.
So did you feel it made a bad impression on Dow on behalf of Illumina?
I did. I was kind of embarrassed. I wanted to give a good impression.
Recognizing that Dr. Zarnik was your boss, did you say anything to him about your displeasure at being put on the spot?
Certainly not in front of them. Afterward, I said, please don't ever do that again. I was really upset.
Did you feel that Dr. Zarnik, as chief scientific officer, was directing or managing the conduct of all the R&D activity at Illumina?
Not really. Chemistry, yes.
Do you believe that Dr. Barker today, as chief scientific officer, does direct and manage the R&D activities of Illumina?
Yes, I do.
Let me put up one more exhibit. Do you recall receiving a copy of a draft of Illumina's prospectus for its IPO?
Yes.
Do you recall how you received that draft?
I think I first saw a draft from Tony. He sent one to me.
Do you know why he sent it to you?
Yeah, I think the circumstances around that were he had mentioned that he was not written in as a founder, and I responded, really? I was surprised to hear that. He said, yeah, take a look. He sent me one.
At the time you received this, was Dr. Zarnik then a research fellow?
I don't remember the timing of that.
Well, Your Honor, we'd like to discuss this exhibit out of the presence of the jury.
Okay, you want the reporter?
Not necessary.
You mentioned that you recall Dr. Zarnik sending you a draft of the prospectus. Do you have an understanding why he sent you the draft of that prospectus?
Objection, calls for speculation.
What was your interpretation of why he sent you that?
Same objection.
Sustained.
As your former boss, after Dr. Zarnik became a research fellow, did he keep you posted on his developments with respect to his disputes with management at Illumina?
Generally speaking, yeah. Tony and I were talking about these things. I don't recall details of those conversations.
Did you have an opportunity to see his research fellow goals?
Yes.
Did he characterize those goals to you in any way?
Well, what he did, he posted them above his desk, and at one point I was walking by, or I don't know if he told me to come over and look at them. The point being, look at how outlandish these goals were. I looked at them, and they looked tough.
And so, in your experience, do employees at Illumina participate in the drafting of the goals?
Yes.
And did Dr. Zarnik explain how those goals had been arrived at to you?
He made it seem as if they'd been dictated to him by Jay.
Do you, in fact, have any knowledge of how those goals were given to him?
No.
So you didn't participate in any review of potential goals for Dr. Zarnik as research fellow?
No.
Did Dr. Zarnik ever give you an expensive gift?
Yes.
Objection, relevance.
Sustained.
Do you know why Dr. Zarnik posted his goals over his desk?
I can imagine to show how hard these goals were. I don't know what his reason was. That's why he posted them. He showed me them to show me how hard they were. I can assume he was doing the same for others.
Is it typical for people to post their personal goals over their desk?
Not at all.
Nothing further.
Redirect?
Yes, Your Honor.